This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of the posterior approach to the knee from the approaches section on orthobullets.com. The posterior approach to the knee allows visualization of the posterior tibia and the popliteal fossa. Indications to use the posterior approach to the knee include posterior tibial plateau fractures and popliteal fossa tumors or foreign bodies. With respect to surgical planes of the posterior approach of the knee, there is no true internervous or intermuscular plane. Dissection is maintained underneath the gastrocnemius muscle belly. As far as preparation for the posterior approach to the knee, anesthesia is typically general anesthesia with an endotracheal tube. Preparation typically involves a radiolucent table and C-arm fluoroscopy. In terms of positioning, prone positioning is necessary, and you will slightly flex the knee via a bump under the ankle. Now, let's talk about the approach. The incision can be an inverted L-shaped incision or an S-curve incision. When an inverted L-shaped incision is made, the horizontal limb is in Langer's lines in the popliteal space, and the vertical limb begins at the medial corner of the popliteal fossa and extends distally. With an S-curve incision, above the incision can be extended proximally on the lateral side for more extensile exposure. Moving on to the superficial dissection, full-thickness fasciocutaneous flaps are created, and the sural nerve as well as short saphenous vein should be protected. Moving on to deep dissection, the tendon of the gastrocnemius is seen and the muscle is retracted laterally. The posterior aspect of the knee capsule is then seen. The popliteus and soleus are subperiosteally elevated off the posterior tibia. This exposes almost all of the posterior tibia. Finally, in terms of approach extension, if additional medial access is necessary, the medial head of the gastrocnemius can be released. Posterolateral extension should be limited due to risk of common peroneal nerve injury. Posterolateral extension should be limited due to risk of common peroneal nerve injury. Now, let's end this review session talking about some structures at risk using the posterior approach to the knee. And the structures to be aware of include the popliteal artery, tibial nerve, as well as the sural nerve and short saphenous vein. In terms of the popliteal artery, risk is minimized with maintenance of access under the gastrocnemius. As far as the popliteal artery origin before the knee, this is a continuation of the superficial femoral artery, and transition is at the hiatus of the adductor magnus muscle. The popliteal artery is anchored by insertion of the adductor magnus as it enters the region of the posterior knee. As far as the course of the popliteal artery in the posterior knee, let's talk about its relation to anatomical structures of the knee. So the popliteal artery lies posterior to the posterior horn of the lateral meniscus and lies directly behind the posterior capsule. In terms of branches of the popliteal artery within the knee, at the supracondylar ridge, it gives branches that provide blood supply to the knee. Above the knee joint, branches include the medial and lateral sural arteries, a cutaneous branch, and the middle genicular artery. At the level of the knee joint, branches include the medial genicular artery and the lateral genicular artery. Remember that as the popliteal artery exits the knee, it's anchored by the soleus tendon, which originates from the medial aspect of the tibial plateau. And in terms of distal branches, the popliteal artery branches into the anterior and posterior tibial arteries at the distal popliteus muscles. In terms of the tibial nerve, risk is minimized with maintenance of access under the gastrocnemius. And finally, in terms of the sural nerve and the short saphenous vein, these structures are seen in the superficial dissection and should be protected when possible. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. During a posterolateral exposure of the knee, the fascial intervals between the iliotibial band and the biceps femoris tendon are incised. What vascular structure is at most risk during this exposure? And the choices are 1, the peroneal artery, 2, the lateral sural artery, 3, the superior lateral genicular artery, 4, the inferior lateral genicular artery, and 5, the posterior tibial recurrent artery. The correct answer to this question is 4, inferior lateral genicular artery. So exposure of the posterolateral aspect of the knee uses the fascial intervals between the iliotibial band and the biceps femoris tendon distally and the short head of the biceps femoris slightly more proximally. The inferior lateral genicular artery may be encountered during the surgical approach or with aggressive arthroscopic meniscal debridement that penetrates the joint capsule. The superior lateral genicular artery is found well above this interval. The lateral sural artery is superior and posterior. The peroneal and posterior tibial recurrent arteries are well distal. That's all for this review about the posterior approach to the knee. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.